I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we more fully enter into this season of Epiphany, the season that we're in now, we have a chance to examine our understanding of who God is. A major part of this life of faith is learning to see God constantly in our midst with fresh eyes, to know that God is bigger and grander and more vast and more complex than we can comprehend. But also knowing that in creating us and calling us into relationship, God has invited us to get to know God anyway. So Epiphany becomes for us a season in which we get to spend time grappling with who God is and how God is being revealed to us, both in the scriptures written thousands of years ago, but also right now in the world around us. Our readings for this season that we'll hear over the next several weeks are about the ways that Jesus is revealed to the world as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior. Last week, we heard the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. In it, we see a story both like all the many baptisms that have taken place in the century since, but also unlike any baptism that has ever taken place. Like in our own baptism, Jesus descends into the water and dedicates his life to God, enters more fully into this life of faith of believers around him. But unlike our baptism, Jesus has this moment where the Holy Spirit physically descends like a dove and alights on him, and the voice of God is heard, proclaiming Jesus as his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. We, of course, are also claimed as beloved children of God in our own baptisms, and we too more fully receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's not quite as spectacular. So the dramatics of Jesus' baptism are a means by which God reveals Jesus to the world as something new and wonderful, something long promised, long awaited, and finally arrived. All of our readings in this season will do this. They will show us who Jesus is, Jesus revealed more fully to the world. And in this person of Jesus and his revelation, we will learn more about God. We will have a bigger and better glimpse of the holy, closer glimpses of who God is, what God cherishes most, what God would like for us to be like, how God would like to be in relationship with us, and how God would like for us to be in relationship with each other. Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, and this is an apt gospel to read for the season of Epiphany. Throughout John's gospel, a constant question, a sort of refrain, will appear from the people who encounter Jesus. And that question is, who is this man? They question it all the time. Who is this man? Where does he come from? Where does he get the ability to do these amazing things? Where is his authority from? John wants us, the readers, to ask that question too, to get us to say this. Who is this man? Who is Jesus? Where does he come from? John paints this picture over the course of his gospel, providing us with compelling evidence to be able to answer that question ourselves, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. But John wants you to question it, to walk with him, and then to come away believing it for yourself, that the conclusion is only one answer, that this is the Messiah. Today's gospel reading is the very first miracle that Jesus will perform in the Gospel of John. And John doesn't waste any time with details, where we're at a wedding, when, the third day, who Jesus, his mother, and the disciples, and that's it. Why are they there? We don't know. Who are these people that are getting married? Doesn't matter. What we need to know is that at the course of this wedding, the wine runs out. If you've been to a wedding, you might know that's a terrible situation. And so Jesus' mother comes to him and says, we got to do something about this. We can imagine perhaps that the party is sort of coming to a halt. Maybe people are feeling a little less festive, and Jesus' mother knows that Jesus can solve this problem. And even as he initially resists acting, his mother has no worries or concerns that should he wish to act, he will be able to. And he does act. He turns water into wine in 6 large stone basins that he shares with his friends, his family, and the other wedding guests. In this season of Epiphany, much of our focus in reading these stories should be on seeing how God is revealed in the person of Jesus, and how Jesus is being revealed in the world. What do you see in this story? How is God being revealed to you in this story? What are you picking up about God? What are you finding out about who God is? For me, in this first miracle, I learn about Jesus as someone who cares about abundance, someone who is generous. Jesus doesn't just turn a little bit of water into wine. He turns 6 large stone basins, anywhere from 120 to 180 gallons of water into wine. Jesus is revealed in this story as someone who is lavish and extravagant, who fully loves and provides for God's people. In this story, I also see Jesus as someone who values humility. Jesus doesn't, though this miracle is public, Jesus doesn't call everyone around him. He doesn't show everyone himself doing this. He just does the work and then lets the work speak for itself. I also see someone as Jesus who has the power to transform both substances, sure, but that is not the important part here. In this story, we see Jesus who has the ability to transform things, massive things, who can transform life, who can bring forth extraordinary things out of ordinary things, who will bring forth good things out of bad things, who will bring forth life out of death. John's gospel will continue to show Jesus as transformative in his teachings, in his healing miracles, and most especially in his death and in his resurrection. John invites us into this Jesus story to have our own lives transformed by hearing and believing the things that Jesus can do. This transformative power is so unique. It is so essential to who Jesus is, to who God is, and it is displayed first right here in this story at a wedding in Cana. Scripture stories like this, especially these that we read in the Epiphany season, will invite us to continue seeking God in our lives. God is constantly calling to us. God is constantly inviting us into new things, to examine our passions, to examine our gifts, and then to look for ways in which we can use those gifts to build up the kingdom of God around us. God is always, always coming to us. That is promised over and over again in Scripture. We'll never fully understand God. That's not the goal. That's not the quest anyway. That's just what is true. God is bigger than us. But God is bigger than our limitations. God is bigger than our imaginations. And God is certainly bigger than human machinations. But even though we can never fully label God, nor should we want to, God has invited us to get to know God better, to use our experiences, to use our gifts, to use our reason to see where God is and who God is. And in this season of Epiphany, we're invited to dwell on this, to think about it, to know that we'll catch glimpses of God if we keep searching for God. And we do this together, we might just get a fuller glimpse of who God is. You take your experience with God, and I take my experiences with God, and we tune in more fully for those clues of where God is, both in the life and ministry of Jesus and God at work in our lives around us now. We will find out more together. So as I see someone in this story who is extravagant and abundant and generous, who values humility and who transforms lives, you may see other things. You may see God in other ways in this story, and that's a good thing. And together, we just might be able to start putting those pieces together to build a little bit more of the infinitely faceted God who loves us very much and who is still at work in the world today. Amen.